morning, we're going to talk about fruit and abiding. And, you know, it's a good time. We have the pumpkin patches and we have the apples, you know, the orchard. And actually, as I was just been thinking about this over the week and meditating on the scripture out of John 15, I seen on Saturday that Autumn in the Vineyard was on the Hallmark Channel. And who doesn't like a good Hallmark movie in season? So it sort of just went with the whole John 15, which is going to be the base of our message today. But so let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that it would be your words coming out of my mouth, that whatever you want made known today and whatever would touch each person today, that would be what was said. And just awaken our souls, awaken our spirit to experience you and to hear from you and to just to take in from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In the Old Testament, Adam lived his life in the very presence of God, and he had a very close relationship to him, and he had full access to him. Now, we know that the fall of man compromised that connection, and we also know that Jesus came to restore that connection, and when he did, when he came to restore that connection, he not only brought us back into the right relationship with the Father, but he also planted that garden within us, that Garden of Eden that Adam walked in with the coolness of the day of the Father that is now within us. So the most fruitful thing that we can do in our lives is to abide in the presence of God. And it says in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah and in Psalms, it talks about how we are trees planted by the riverbed with our roots going deep, and that we will bear fruit in all seasons of our lives and be prosperous. So, you know, we were made to bear fruit. And the only way that we're able to bear fruit is to abide in Jesus. So when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, their way of life actually revolved around the presence of God. You know, God's pillar of cloud took them by day, the fire took them by night, and that led them into nations and lands of unknown, and that was, you know, they revolved around that leading. And Moses even said that, you know, if you take your presence from us, don't move us from this place, that they were so centered on that presence of being a way of their life that he was not willing to even go forward until if God's presence was going to leave. And we also have to come to that place in our lives of abiding that presence is our supreme priority in our life, that we do not want to go day to day. We do not want to go live our life even continually throughout the day without knowing and being aware of abiding with him and of his presence being there. Okay, we're going to read John 15. And I'm going to read the whole way through the scripture first, and then we'll go back and look at different parts of it. But I have it printed out big for me to see. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. If you are my friends, if you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Okay. You know, this wasn't something that Jesus took lightly, like, okay, if you want to hang out with me, you know, that's okay. It's a command that we are to abide in him, that we are to remain in him. And I have a picture of a grapevine. I was doing a little bit of research on vineyards and grapevines and just trying to get in my mind the different parts of the vine and the branches and the shoots and all that stuff to correlate it, like, with the scripture. But Jesus is the true vine, you know, he's our foundation. When that grapevine starts growing, it's not thick like that at first. That base part, it's a small shoot, but when it grew up and came to maturity, it was that foundation. And Jesus is that foundation for each one of us. And where are the branches? Where are those branches that come off of that grapevine that are gonna supposed to bear fruit, bring the grapes to full harvest? And each vine or each branch is intended to bear fruit. So, but they don't always bear fruit, you know. It's those grapes that are taken care of and those grapes that are pruned and stuff cut away in order for them to come into the fullness of the harvest. So the Father, he's the gardener, you know. He's doing the cutting and the pruning of all the branches. And like I said, grapes need attention. There won't be any harvest. You know, my husband, Doug, he is quite the gardener. He is a gardener. And he likes to plant a lot. But I'm just going to use the pumpkin patch as the example. You know, when he put those pumpkins, that whole big fields of pumpkins out, he was out there constantly, a couple times a day, I don't know, for hours upon end, checking each little vine. And when it was supposed to get cold, when they were first coming out, he went out and put buckets over them so to protect them from the cold, and making sure that, I don't know, bugs wasn't getting them or animals or whatever eats them. And, you know, and I was thinking about that and picturing, like, the Father, you know, being that gardener, about how his love and taking care of us, and he's always there and wanting the best for us, and he's wanting us to have fruit, for that fruit to come forth in us, and he's there like come on, you know, grow, you know, and fertilizer or all that stuff. But you know, without that cutting and the pruning, you know, which we'll talk a little bit about later, but it takes that in our lives in order for that bountiful harvest to come forth. So he is a great gardener. He plants all kinds of things, not just pumpkins, but, you know, and he's also that great gardener that when it's time to harvest, he calls the harvester in to do the harvest, and guess who that is? Me. But this year he did help a lot, though, because I'm like, why do you plant so much stuff? But anyway, all right. So let's look at John 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus commands that abiding in him is for the sake of relationship. And that is what it's all about. He always, you know, he just wants relationship with us. So when we have relationship with him, fruit naturally just happens. 4 and 5 say, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is an identifying factor of a follower of Jesus. It's not about what we say or how we act or what we do that makes us a follower of Jesus. You know, we can say that we follow Jesus and live contrary to that statement. We can say that, you know, we can say we are a Christian and we might not even know what that means. And we may not even know who Jesus is. We can act like Christians and we can still do the devil's will. We can do all the works. We can serve, we can teach Sunday school, we can preach, we can do whatever, and all those works and still not know who Jesus is. And that's why fruit is different from good works. Because you can do all those things and all those good works, and if they were fruit, then you wouldn't need Jesus. So all your good works, you know, there's a difference between good works and fruit. And it's impossible to bear fruit without living our lives in his presence, you know, and that's what he's telling us in verse 5. So we have to have a relationship with Jesus in order to bear fruit. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that all of our good works will be tested by fire, and only the works founded on Jesus will remain. So those things that we do, you know, God is testing, and one day there will be a final testing of those works. And all that was done on our own without being connected to Jesus, without abiding in him and it flowing from his presence, will just be for nothing. And all the ones that we did produce the fruit, the good works through him, those were the ones that will remain for eternity. Fruit that remains are works that are done with him and not apart from him. Okay, John 15:16, please. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So fruit bearing is less about doing stuff and more about abiding. And when we abide, it's more about being in God and he in us than it is about doing things to get a place to God. It's actually living from a place of intimacy instead of living to try to attain that place of intimacy, thinking that I got to do this to get closer to God. I got to do this to get closer to God. Once we have that revelation and that we know who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we have that revelation with him and we live from that place, it's not like us trying to do this. I'm going to read my Bible 15 minutes longer because I need to get closer to God. No, you need to know that who you are in Christ and that he is there, and that when you abide in him, when you get close to him, when you commune with him, that he is revealing himself to you. And who he is and what he does that will just flow naturally from you. So what does abide mean? To stay or live somewhere, to remain or continue. And when we're living from that place of intimacy, we're experiencing his love continually. We have to know that, and not just head know, we have to know deep down in our gut how much the Father loves us. You know, and every day, continually, God, I just want to experience your love, you know, and go out throughout the day. You know, Lord, I just want to experience your love today. Oh, your love is so great. I'm just basking in your love, Lord God. Oh, and just continually, you know, that's how you live from intimacy. That's how you abide. That's how you, you know, build that relationship. Oh, I was just scanning to see if I'll... you know how a husband and wife is. You know, when you want to get closer to your spouse, you know, you spend time with them. You're talking love words to them. You're speaking love and receiving love back to them. And that relationship is growing and you're becoming more and more as one. And that is just a picture of our relationship with Jesus. Jesus is telling us to live and stay in the presence of God. God's presence is the nearness of his person. Okay, so this week I learned something that was really just has really just impacted me a lot. In the Bible, the one and only definition of the word presence is face. The word for presence is panim. And every single time in the Bible, it means face. So the presence of the Lord is the very face of God. So when we talk about his presence being here, we're experiencing his presence. It's just like when I was meditating about that and I was thinking about that and talking to the Lord about that, you know, the word says that his presence surrounds us. And I like the Passion Translation that uses the words wrap around presence. So think about, like, you know, each one of us here, his presence is surrounding us now. His presence is right here. You know, we're wrapped around his presence. And when you know that that word means face, it's like, it's like his face is right here. You know, his face is right here. You know, when I was thinking about that face of God and just thinking about how close that is, and when you get that revelation, like how breathtaking it is, it took my breath away to know that anywhere I go or anywhere I move, like the face of God is right here, that closeness. And we even just sang about, you know, his eyes of fire and looking into those eyes and that closeness. And I just pray that, you know, for me, it just brought, when I got that revelation and I felt that, you know, that experience of that, it brought a depth, even a more of a depth to the relationship, a depth to the intimacy. And, you know, I just hope that same with you. I mean, it was just like, oh my gosh, yeah, rocking me up. Anyway. Okay, so if our focus is not on him, it is possible to think we are doing the works of God and miss his will completely. But, you know, once we know that, you know, okay, his face is right here, how can we not be focused on him, really? I mean, when you know that, you know, you're surrounded by the presence of God and his face is there, it's a lot easier to think, okay, I can focus on the Lord now, you know? And when you're focused on the Lord, that's when you're in his will and, you know, things are just flowing naturally and you're learning more about him and what his plans are for you to do while we're all here. And it's also during that time, though, you know, we have stuff that we need to get rid of. And I'm not talking about bad stuff, you know. I'm talking about stuff that we may be doing that the Lord's not calling us to do. And that's where that cutting and pruning comes in. It's, you know, the cutting and pruning is always getting rid of the dead branches. So sometimes, though, that pruning is cutting off things that we may be doing that's good, but that aren't just his will and is taking up our time. It's stealing our time from being with him, stealing our time from doing something that he's called us to do. So pruning allows room and more nourishment for other fruit to grow to its capacity. So the Father cuts that off, you know. We may be in a season in our life that, you know, it was this, I did this for this season, but I feel like it's changing, the grace is lifting, I'm not liking doing this anymore, you know. Maybe you're moving into a new season and God is cutting that off to make room for new fruit for something else he has planned for you to do. He lets you know, believe me, when he's cutting and pruning. It's not always comfortable. Well, it's never comfortable, really. For me, it hasn't been anything. But it's necessary. It's necessary, you know. And the thing about it is, when we do these works and we're just doing because maybe someone's not filling the spot and you feel like it needs to be done, or someone asked you to do it and you're just wanting to be nice, or whatever it is, you know, you're doing that. What's that gonna lead to? That's gonna lead to burnout, because you're just putting all your effort in. You're not, you know, doing something that you're called to do. But when you're abiding in Christ and you're doing the things that he has called you to do, there is an ease in the work that you're able to just be able to do and accomplish so much stuff with so much ease. I mean, it still may be, it might not be easy as in a way as far as, you know, everything's done real fast or whatever, but there's an ease in the process. There's a peace about it that you're doing. And that's a big way to tell a difference between if you're really abiding and it's fruit coming that you're supposed to be doing, or if you're just doing something to do something. All right, I found this very interesting on the internet. And when I was reading about vineyards, and it says, in vineyards where there's a variety of grapes, and I guess when the vineyards, you know, especially for winemaking, they have different grapes because different wines take a variety of different grapes. but that you must properly trim the vines, because if they don't, the vines will spread over the ground and they'll actually tend to destroy the other variety of grapes that are to be harvested. Now, let's just think about that for a second. I was like, oh, really? Oh, that sounds like a lot of religion to me. About how we, you know, if we think about it, like if we're not pruned and we're not abiding with God, that, you know, we can even step out and, you know, take over our brothers and sisters in Christ, or tell them that they think, you know, we think they should be doing something, or we could be, you know, hindering their growth. So I'm like, wow, I really need to think about that some more. But I thought that was a good statement. All right, fruit. What is fruit? Fruit can be anything and everything, from the way you live as a witness to others, your words, or your actions. So our fruit isn't for showing off or getting attention for ourselves. Our fruit is actually for eating. And our fruit isn't for us to eat. Our fruit is being produced for others to eat from. So our fruit is to nourish others. We are to become the food to the hungry souls that we encounter every day. So when we bear fruit, it's for others to nourish from. We're not living life in God. If we're not living our life in God, then we don't have anything real to give to others, or we don't have anything long-lasting that will stand up against, you know, the test of time and the things going on in the world, for others to have a foundation for. When Jesus walked the earth, he lived his life to glorify God the Father. And when we bear much fruit, that's what we are doing. We are glorifying the Father, and we are mature disciples. So one way of knowing your maturity as being a disciple is to test your fruit. What fruit are you bearing? And what fruit are you giving to others? All right, John 15, 8 and 9. Oh, we have 8 up there. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Matthew 28, 8-20 is a great commission. When Jesus came and told his disciples that he gave them all authority in heaven and on earth. And he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This scripture passage, I think, for myself even over the years, and for a majority of the body, can be overwhelming. Because we think, okay, he's telling us to go out and make disciples, you know. You have all these thoughts coming in that, you know, well, I'm a new Christian, I don't know how to make a disciple, or I don't have my scripture memorized, or, you know, I haven't had training, or I'm not ordained, or whatever it is. but, you know, after studying on this week, it just really became plain to me, and it's quite easy about making disciples, because he says that when we're bearing fruit, we're mature disciples. So all we have to do is let them taste our fruit and see the goodness of our fruit. And then we teach them to abide in Christ. And then they learn to abide in Christ and live from intimacy. And they're bearing fruit for the next person. And it just takes pressure off of us altogether. We don't have to, you know it all, or we don't have to have all the answers or whatever. We just need to abide in Christ and let that fruit come forth, and then teach others to abide in him. And abiding is for all seasons of life. It's for any age. It's for new Christians. It's for seasoned Christians. You know, I think it's great that, you know, we teach our kids to abide, that we teach our kids at a young age to live from the intimacy of God, to know and experience that love. And, you know, that, to have them learn to abide and live from intimacy at a young age, they're going to have lots of fruit. And, you know, children are like, they have that childlike faith. So, you know, their fruit would be quite juicy. But, you know, and it's not, you know, if we're retired or if we're in school or if we're, you know, I have newborns and, you know, at home with babies or whatever, you know, it's just about being intimate with the Lord, getting to know him, getting, talking to him, you know, exchanging love words with him, listening to what he has to say, keeping, remaining in him and keeping close to him. Fruit isn't just the presence of good works or righteous living. It means people and the world around you are feeding from your life. So my question that I asked myself and my question that I asked you are, who is feeding from your life and what are they feasting on? And I think if we all just think about the ones that are feeding from our life, you know, the ones that we have, that the Lord has placed us in contact with, you know, who are those people and what am I offering them to nourish them? Last scripture is John 15:11. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." All right, so he says, he's spoken them to us, and his joy is in us. And he wants our joy to be full, which means to be overflowing. So a manifestation of abiding in Christ, I believe, is that his joy is going to be overflowing in you. So no longer do we walk around with sour faces, oh, the world's getting me down, because it doesn't matter what any circumstance that we are going through, there's an opportunity for the Lord to be glorified. And that's what our joy is to do, is to bring glory to the Lord. I asked the Lord, I asked him, you know, when you walked on this earth, was it difficult to keep your joy? To, you know, to see things as the Father sees them. And you know what he told me? He told me to read Lazarus. The resurrection of Lazarus. I thought, okay, so I read that. And, you know, as I was reading that, and, you know, there was sorrow. His friend was sick. His friend passed away. There was sorrow. But in all that, you know, he knew that the Father was going to be glorified. And actually, when he got to that place and he was with Mary and there was the weeping that was going on outside the tomb and it says that Jesus wept, I really believe now that he wept because he was, because of the compassion and the love he had for his friend. But I also believe now that there was tears of joy there, because he knew what was about to happen. Life was about to come forth and the Father was to be glorified. And that's what our job is to do. Unspeakable joy and full of glory should be a sign that there is something different about us, something that's not seen from the world, something that people of the world can't give other people. We have to stand up and be different, that the world notices a difference in us. And you know what? It's the unspeakable joy and full of glory, and it will draw others to Christ. So I have like a song. Kim and Summer are going to sing this song. It's one they did at the ladies' luncheon or tea. And I just want everyone, you know, this is our time of intimacy with the Lord, you know, that we just tell the Lord, you know, I want to experience your love. Just thank him. Just whatever is coming up from your heart, just speak to him. And also, you know, and just let that wraparound presence, that closeness of his face as you're just sitting there, you know, as they're just ministering through song, just that you're seeing those eyes of fire, that you're even feeling that heartbeat and that breath, the breath of him on your neck. But also then, if there's anyone that needs prayer for anything, too, we want to be able to pray with you and agree with you in prayer so that, you know, that's, you can come up during then or after they're done.